This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Orleans, and a beautiful morning it is, and got a great show lined up for you today. In the last hour, we'll be talking to Dr. Ryan Teaton, professor of political science at the University of Louisiana Lafayette, about President Trump's State of the Union address last night, and does President Trump's take on the State of the Union match yours? Do your priorities match his? And we'll break that down with Dr. Ryan Teaton. We're then going to talk to folks from FAIR, Federation for American Immigration Reform, in a second hour. There's been a lot of data that has been put out about the fact that illegal aliens are incarcerated at a much lower rate than folks that are here legally. And it's and Americans. Well, a new study reveals that that may not be the case. And it all may be about what data you're actually looking at, because in this country, we collect data on illegal aliens in a very haphazard, careless way. And we'll talk about that. In the first hour, a topic near and dear to my heart. I am a UNO grad, alumni. It's a place that I think the world of, and joining me on the line at this point is John Niclo, president of the University of New Orleans. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Neil. Good to talk with you again.
John, the university plays such an important role in our local and economy, as well as throughout the southeastern part of Louisiana, for sure, if not through the entire Gulf South area, as you compete against other universities. Tell us about where you see the State of the Union for UNO at the present time, what your challenges are, and where you hope to go in the future.
Sure. I think the state of affairs is very positive. We have a lot of momentum here. My priorities were centered when I started here at the University of New Orleans around growing the enrollment, reinvigorating our research enterprise, and building partnerships with alumni, with business and industry, and other educational institutions. And I think we've done a lot of that over the last few years. The university's enrollment grew in the fall for the first time in nearly a decade. We saw a freshman class of over 1,000 for the first time in about 7 years, and the highest grade point average of that class in about 10 years. So there's some real positives that we're seeing on campus.
Do you see that one of the opportunities for UNO, I always said, and I know it was my experience when I was there, it was really kind of a low-cost alternative to a whole host of other schools that I could have gone to had I decided to take that route. Looked at UNO as an accounting degree major initially, and saw the strength of the program, saw the amount of the tuition, compared that to other schools. And, I mean, UNO offered so much more for so much less, it was almost no decision at all for me.
So I do. And as the only public research university in New Orleans, and there are 7 four-year universities, private and all with niches, but we are the only public research. And what that means to me, and it's one of the reasons I'm here, is I believe in public higher education, is a unique combination of high-quality instruction engagement opportunities, but coupled with accessibility and affordability. We're top 25 in the country in terms of least debt. In other words, our graduates leave here with a degree with the lowest amount of debt, number three in the country for upward social and economic mobility, according to the Brookings Institute. And I think the research component is important, public research. You're getting accessibility, affordability and quality, but we do a tremendous amount of research on this campus. And the reason that's important is even as a freshman all the way to graduate students are engaged in various undergraduate research projects, creative scholarship, that they get to both experience state-of-the-art methodologies in their classes, But then they get to leave the class and actually go work on these projects and develop passions. There's not a lot of places you can do that all in one place, and it's just a wonderful combination.
I am a huge advocate of experiential learning, and that's what you're describing, and I think that's what sets some of the more forward-leaning universities apart from many others. And I think, you know, although some would say the jury's still out on that, when I talk to kids that are at the university, that's what they hone in on first.
Mm-hmm. And that experiential learning involves both on-campus experiences, but definitely internships and our partnerships. I've worked hard to build those partnerships with business and industry. And, you know, some examples, we have a wonderful software engineering apprenticeship program with GE. We've now partnered with DXC Technology and helped bring them to town. And so we are looking at internships, apprenticeship programs, and then that ultimately lead to full-time jobs. Because, you know, it's more than what you're just doing in a classroom. It's how do you apply that information? And then really what we're trying to teach students is how to think. Not exactly what to think, but how they need to think. Because jobs are going to change in the future, and they're going to change considerably. There was a great study done by a group called the Institute for the Future in 2017, and it said 85% of jobs that today's students will have in 2030 haven't even been invented or created yet. And the part of the reason for that is artificial intelligence and augmented and virtual reality and so on. But the point here is that we're teaching students critical thinking skills and how to problem solve, how to teamwork, how to use communication, but with the technology and state-of-the-art techniques that really will propel them into a career.
John, we got to get to a break, but when we come back, you recently wrote a column in The Advocate talking about the value of a college degree and how you need to kind of look at that. And
mm-hmm. No, absolutely, because the average student today will have six or seven jobs in their career. They're going to move around. And like I said earlier, by 2030, most of the jobs that these students are going to have haven't even been created. So it's a challenge, but I think it's the challenge we accept to help students understand that we're not teaching you just how to solve a specific problem. We're teaching you how to solve lots of different problems. And I'm an engineer by profession, and I'm a college president. And I joke with students all the time that, you know what, that my degree taught me how to solve lots of different problems and be analytical and data-driven. That's what the goal was. It was teaching me how to think, and that I could use that in just about any career.
It's not just simply the recitation of facts, right?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, this is such an important message now, and you mentioned the Advocate article. The economy of the job market appears strong, unemployment's down. Also happens to be the time when students are thinking about where, you know, do I pursue a college degree or do I go to work? And that value in a college degree is could never be higher. There's a Georgetown University Center on Education and the Workforce that talks about 65% of jobs by next year will go to people only with a college degree. In the post-recession area, 72% of jobs went to people with bachelor's degrees. And we know that bachelor's degree earners earn more than $1 million more in their career than their counterparts without a similar degree. So there's tremendous value in a college degree and supporting students in their career.
You know, there's a lot of negative press of kids leaving college in significant amount of debt, not being able to get jobs to even, you know, pay higher than 1 year's tuition. But that's not all schools and that's not all situations. And you have to be strategic about, you know, you're going into school, what it is you want to study and what you hope to accomplish and what you hope to be in life, and try to match up all of those desires in some overarching strategy, right?
Absolutely. And when you look at that debt list of college debt, if you, a significant portion of that just happens to be for profits, and another large portion ends up being a private not-for-profit institutions. But it goes to my earlier point. One of the reasons I love public higher education is we're about affordability. And so if you take the top 25 national universities and look at the average debt of their graduates when they're leaving college, you'll see University of New Orleans on that list. And it's a tremendous asset. We keep our tuition at the low and support our students with high quality education. That's really a tremendous part of our mission. And we retain more of them. This past year, we had a 9 percentage point increase in our student persistence rate, which essentially means we're doing what we're trying, we're succeeding at what we're our student success efforts, trying to support students more to make sure that they continue on with their programs.
You know, one of the things that a lot of folks don't realize is the president of the university, you're really in competition with all other universities. And I've seen you, John Nicklow, out in so many different places just marketing the university, understanding that you're in a competitive business.
It's tremendously competitive, and new strategies and innovations being deployed all the time to make sure that we're getting the students that we need to get, that we're getting the research, that we're getting the support and partnerships from our alumni. It is extremely a competitive field, but I'm very proud of my team and what we're doing, because we're up to the challenge and we're doing it well.
Well, I'm going to send you a kudo right now, because even folks that have not graduated from your university, and you and I and an individual were in a conversation just the other day, and he was not a graduate of the university and was singing your praises and the praises of UNO because of so many people that he had hired from that university that were completely and totally satisfactory and excelled in his organization for him. And I'm sure that was music to your ears.
It was, and thank you, Newell. We have 45,000 alumni in this city, about 80,000 across the country, and they're in every walk of life. And I very much appreciate those comments.
So it gets me to my next question. I mean, you know, and really, it brought to the forefront for me the importance of the institution that you lead for the city and the region. How do you view that?
I often say that New Orleans doesn't work without the University of New Orleans, and it's partly based on those numbers, 45,000 alumni. But when you put that together, and I meet our alumni all over the city. We are the accountants, the engineers, the computer scientists, the artists, the teachers, completely just about every field. And we, in essence, I think, built the middle class of the city. And it's a tremendous, every business meeting I walk into, I often will say, hey, raise your hand if you're an alum or attended or have a family member. And I typically get anywhere from 60 to 80% of the room raising their hands.
Absolutely. Let's go to the talk lines. Mike in Golden Meadow, you're on the line with John Nicklow, president of UNO.
Hi, Newell. Hi, John. How are you?
Good, Mike.
You know, I just want to comment. I'm retired now, but I was... I spent, you know, about 25 years in the computer engineering, aerospace engineering business. We were headquartered in New Orleans. And so I have a lot of experience with Dr. Abdel-Gwarfi and with your computer science department. And so I just want to say what an outstanding department it is. I think it's really a hidden gem. Incredible staff, you know, of professors, particularly like cybersecurity, some of the leading stuff that I've ever seen. We hired lots of great students, you know, became great employees. You know, I just said it was incredibly impressive. I think, you know, your computer science department is as good as any that I've ever, you know, gotten recruits out of. My daughter, as a matter of fact, I got her to go there. So she's there now. Graduates next year. She's going to have a concentration in cyber, which, you know, obviously is a growing field. So I just wanted to, you know, weigh in from the industry side. I know how important you guys are to attracting, you know, new companies here. You know, like I said, just, you know, Monty does such a fantastic job. Their whole staff, some of the student projects, the graduate student projects that we saw, we collaborated a lot with you guys over years. And so I just wanted to say that, just to kind of, you know, put an outside stamp on what you're saying about the quality of your education. You know, I said it's just really outstanding. It's great for the community. You know, so just congratulations to you guys for doing such a great job.
Thank you, Mike. I put our program up against anybody in the country. I've been around the country and really strong program, an NSA recognized center for cybersecurity. We just launched two new certificates for data analytics and software engineering, and we're growing rapidly. So thank you for those comments.
And John, there's been a lot of chatter about whether or not just a bachelor's degree is enough and whether or not you should go on and work towards a master's degree. Where do you see that going in the future from a university standpoint?
I think you're absolutely right. I think today, to establish your career, at one point a high school diploma was a minimum. And I think we're at the point today where a bachelor's degree is a minimum for a lifelong career, and that will involve several jobs. I've talked to folks and heard a lot about the master's degree, not necessarily PhD, but the master's degree sort of being the only credential that really sets you apart. So we're going to see a lot of growth in our graduate programs across the country in all fields.
Yep. Well, when we come back, John, I want to talk about some of the partnerships that y'all have created that I think is unique and something that I typically did not see out of the University of New Orleans, and I think you brought a lot of energy to that. So we'll continue this conversation when we come back with John Nicklow, president of the University of New Orleans. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break. We're back, and John Nicklow, president of the University of New Orleans, joins us. And John, you guys have announced some partnerships recently that are very exciting. Tell us about them.
So some of our biggest ones, I mentioned DXC, their digital transformation company, came to town, hiring 2,000 high-paying jobs, and we are a primary partner in providing qualified leads and people for them, and that will include internships. GE, working with them, we've developed an apprenticeship program where our computer science students get supported in their academic program and get some experiential learning and then go to work. But we have a lot that I think some don't even know exist. I'll give you an example. The NIM Studios in Harahan, where the hit show NCIS New Orleans is filmed, it's actually part of the University of New Orleans, and we have today about 13 or so interns working out there. We have many of the interns that go on to work on the show, and so that's part of what we do at the New Orleans University of New Orleans and with our partnerships.
Did I read somewhere that y'all connected up with Delgado on some kind of a collaborative?
We did, and we have always had a pretty good relationship with Delgado, and Chancellor Wainwright and I got together and talked a little bit about how we make transfer more seamless. And so we kind of just sat down and hashed out a way to tear down barriers, the application process and on-site admissions, on-site advisement. And so we've really tried to create, put ourselves in the student's shoe and say, hey, how can we make this as simple and straightforward as possible?
And I think in our course of our conversation about a week ago, you mentioned something about a pilot training collaborative that y'all were doing or something out at Lakefront Airport.
Right. We are partnering with Lakefront Airport, and this is pending accreditation, SACS accreditation approval, which I don't expect a problem with. We will launch a professional pilot program, in other words, airplane piloting. And there's going to be a tremendous market demand for that as a tremendous amount of their workforce retires for the airline industry. And so we work together with Lakefront Airport to package a degree program that I think is going to be a very high demand program for us.
And did I also hear that y'all are thinking maybe about a NFL officials certificate program?
No, I'm just we certainly need one.
There might be a high demand for that, John. You might want to think about that.
We need one, yeah.
Well, John, you know, you've been at the helm, I guess, what, about 3 years, 3.5 years now, or somewhere right around there?
Nearly 3 years.
Nearly 3 years. And, you know, what do you see as your best accomplishments there, and where do you see what you want to do? Where do you see it ending or going?
Yeah. I'm proud of a lot of things, and our outcomes and enrollment and our research increasing 33% in research this year, and our partnerships, as I talked about. But, you know, I'm really proud of two things. One, what we do for our community. Because it's not about just providing degrees and graduating students. The real question is, why do we do that? And because it lifts up our city and provides citizens with productive careers. It has effects in terms of healthcare outcomes and crime reduction and all kinds of things. It truly does lift up our city and create economic development. The other thing I'm really proud of that we've done is really just I'm proud of our faculty and our staff. We have an exceptional team here, and it's we've put together a group that has worked very hard, and I'm just so pleased that the faculty and staff feel the positivity and the momentum that we have here, and we're really only getting started. You know, I envision us being a 12,000 student university with a strong research arm and enterprise that contributes to community and regional economic development, and we're going to get there.
I have no doubt with the energy that you bring to it that will ultimately happen. We're going to take a break, John, and when we come back, we'll have your final thoughts.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Mr. President, I had a question about alumni affairs. Every couple of I graduated in 93, degree in economics. So every a couple of years, I get a call about, you know, making a donation. So I called and I asked, I said, okay, as an alumni, what kind of benefits do I get for being an alumni? Do I get, you know, like discounted tickets to the basketball or the baseball games, or maybe discounted tickets for the suck-off, the Crawford suck-off, which, you know, is a big thing, especially down here. And, you know, the answer has been no. So I'm kind of asking you, what is the strategic plan that you have in place for alumni to benefit?
Well, we actually just reformulated the entire alumni board and the alumni director, and recreating a lot of what we do there. We're rethinking how to strengthen the Crawfish Mambo and the Crawfish Festival. We're taking an alumni trip to Innsbruck, Austria, for anybody interested in going this year to recognize our alums that went to study abroad with we have a wonderful 40-year-old Innsbruck study abroad program in Austria. So we're rethinking a lot of that. And I always say is that, you know, we made some mistakes in the past, and then maybe not been as strong as we could be. We're not looking behind in the rearview mirror, though. We're looking forward and making some changes. And I would put a call out, really, and it's a good segue to this call to alumni. You know, to share your passion, share your enthusiasm, and get engaged. You know, your degree is worth more now than it ever has been, than ever. And I think let's reengage if you're not involved, and so we can share, and you can really pass that on or pass it on to the next generation. Help us help today's students.
And as an alumnus, always get involved. If you want to affect change, the best way to do that is jump right in and get involved in the Alumni Association, right?
That's right. Yeah. I would also, Noel, I'll put the call out to businesses too. You know, if any of the businesses or industries in the region we got lots of partnerships in just about every field, from engineering to accounting and manufacturing and hospitality, restaurant, tourism. If you're out there and you're looking for thinking about a relationship or how we might help you, let's give me a call. Let's sit down and talk about how we can create a strong, mutually beneficial partnership.
Well, I've heard from a lot of business owners, John, that you have an open door policy, and you don't like saying no. You like to explore all of the opportunities to see how each one can leverage one against the other for the benefit of all.
That's right. I think the university is at its strongest and will only do well when its community and its businesses also are strengthened and do well.
So tell us briefly about the Crawfish Mambo. I think that's the big event that y'all hold in the spring. And I've heard a lot of business folks talk about it. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a truly wonderful event. It's now right in the smack middle of our campus, but it's one of the largest, if not the largest, crawfish festivals in the city. It will take place May 11th this year. And we're followed by a great UNO baseball game. But we have hundreds of teams that compete and just a wonderful Saturday of crawfish and drinks and fellowship and celebration. It's an incredible festival.
And it's an all-day event, as I recall, from before noon until late afternoon, correct?
That's right. It is all day, and it's literally on the lakefront. Not a better place to be in the city.
John, your final thoughts?
You know, I've talked a lot about what we can do with businesses and alumni. What I didn't mention is parents and students. You know, if you're a parent or student listening or maybe somebody who has some college but didn't complete, let's get together and talk, because, again, it goes back to that mutually beneficial relationship. If we can help you make the next step in your career, we want to do that. We've also are transforming. You know, this is a national research university right in your backyard. We compete against the best in the country, one of only two Carnegie R2 research universities in the state. And the way I like to talk to it about with students is that we are the national research university. We have the brains of a national research university, but we have the heart of a small college, and it's a wonderful place to network and get involved and be engaged, and you can really grow here. And so if you haven't taken a look, take a look. It's a high-quality program, but it's affordable and very accessible.
I want you to repeat one thing that struck me about it. It was the notion of how many when they graduate today or something, most of the jobs have not even been created yet. What was that stat?
That was that report in 2017 from the Institute for the Future. 85% of jobs.
85%?
That's right. Of jobs that today's students will have in 2030 have not yet been created.
That when you think about that, that's incredible.
And I think that kind of follows when you think about cloud computing and robotics and virtual reality and self-driving cars, all that's changing so quick in the technology field, and just as one example, and the healthcare field and so on. I guess that's not entirely surprising. So, you know, we're not training students to do a particular job. We're training students for a lifetime and a career.
But, you know, John, that's an opportunity for a university your size, because y'all have a tendency to be more nimble than most others.
We do. We do. And we try to, you said it earlier, we're exploring options. We don't look for ways we can't, reasons why we can't do something. We really do sit down and explore every opportunity and alternative to get something done.
And if they want to reach out to you guys, the website is?
UNO.edu. And you can reach me at an email, president@uno.edu.
All righty. John Nicklow, president of the University of New Orleans, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate the work that you do and the role that the university plays in the successes of the metropolitan area.
Thank you, Newell, for having me. It was really great talking with you.
All righty. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed talking to John Nicolo, president of the University of New Orleans. He brings a lot of energy to the job. Everywhere I go, I see him. He's always promoting the university. He is the biggest cheerleader for the university, and he has really gained the respect of a lot of people in the business community and throughout the metro area and throughout the state. A lot of folks really like what he's doing, myself included, out at UNO. Knowing that this is a key ingredient to our overall community and success, and we need them to succeed, like we need all of the universities here in the city to succeed, because they play a vital role here for us. Also, just wanted to remind everyone that we're going to be giving away tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band Lynyrd Skynyrd, who's coming to New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center May 17th, and you could be there. You'll listen to me all week between 10 and 1 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to an unforgettable night of classic American rock and roll with Lynyrd Skynyrd, also featuring Hank Williams Jr. From Newell and WWL, AM, FM, and .com. You just heard where Scoot's giving away Michael Bublé tickets. And today on Christian and Garrick and Bobby Hebert's show, now that the NFL season is over, it's time to look at the Saints offseason. And couldn't say it any better. What are the five biggest questions surrounding the black and gold, and how can they recoup some draft picks? That's going to be key, I think, to their success next year. They have some needs that they need to fill, and the priority of same, and who better to talk about that than Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick. And guess what? National Signing Day. Did LSU land any more big recruits? And the LSU basketball game this evening in Starkville. They want to make a little comeback here against Mississippi State. Pre-game coverage starts at 7:30. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. on the home of the Saints and LSU, WWL. You don't want to miss that either. When we come back, we will be talking to David Ray from the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Many argue the majority of illegal aliens are law-abiding citizens. Well, a new study says they're incarcerated in some areas at five times the rate of legal residents. Does this new study debunk that notion that's been put around? And as the Congress is going to continue to take up immigration reform, February 15th, deadline of the continuing resolution in funding the government. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.